Well, this morning we're going to talk about the layman and the Great Commission, and we're going to start off looking at a passage in James. So if you have your Bible, you'll turn with me to James chapter 4, and we'll read beginning with verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we open the Word of God, our prayer again is that the Spirit of God who has written these things for our edification would come now and give us understanding. And to that end we pray and commit ourselves this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we're going to come back to that passage in a moment. But during our time together for these next three messages, we are going to be talking about the layman and the Great Commission. And oftentimes, as laymen, we see ourselves kind of as spectators when it comes to this business of the Great Commission. And it's almost as if we are sitting in the stands, and the missionaries and the pastors and preachers are down there on the playing court, and we are shouting out words of encouragement to them. And if they are the major participants, and that we are simply the spectators. And beloved, nothing could be further from the truth. Because it was God's plan that the layman should become the major participant when it comes to the Great Commission, and seeing that the world in our lifetime and in our generation should be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Does anybody not have their Bible? Because you're going to need one, and we got a whole box full of them underneath here, so if you don't have one, I'd like to see that you get one. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. And why did he give them? What's it say there in your Bible? Why did he give the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, the evangelists? Why were they given? For the equipping of the saints. What did God want the saints to do, according to the passage? Thank you, for the work of the ministry. And so the work of the ministry belongs to who? To the saints. And in our vocabulary, it belongs to the layman. And so when the laymen see themselves as the spectators, sitting there in the stands, shouting words of encouragement, well, that was never God's plan. God gave the pastors, the teachers, the missionaries, the evangelists, and their job is to perfect or mature you so that you reach a place where you are capable of doing the work of the ministry. And so until the layman, in fact, becomes the major participant, then the world in an our lifetime or in any generation is never going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But beloved, we have allowed a distorted picture to enter into our minds and our thinking, and as a result, the kingdom of God, you know, is not being established to the ends of the earth. And that somehow we've just got to turn that around. And the only way we're going to get it turned around is whenever we begin to examine the scriptures and to find out what is upon the heart of God, and then decide that we, in fact, are going to give ourselves to that which God has called us to. I'm going to crank somebody right on through there. Now, I want to come back to our verse, or the passage that we looked at a little earlier over in James, and I'd like to try and illustrate that passage for you if I can. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to draw two lines here and leave a little space in between them. And then I'm going to come over here and I'm going to draw a line here, and I want that line, or let me say on this side of the line on the left, I'd like for that to take and to represent eternity, which is in the past. And then on the other side, I want it to represent eternity, which is in the future, because we are caught in a time dimension where we see things that are in the past, we see that which is currently happening or the present, and we see that which is going to happen in the future. But God is not caught in such a time span. The fact that when he looks at time, it is all present. So what is going to happen tomorrow and 5 years from now is already history with God. But the fact that we're caught in that time dimension, and we can look at things that are in the past, we can try and project that which is going to be in the future, but we really live with that which is happening today. But I would like for this first line that I have drawn here to take and to represent where Bible history began. And you notice that I didn't draw that line at the very beginning of the line, but partway through it, because I want that to take and to represent that first part where God created the world. Now, when you talk to some theologians, they believe that the world is only a few thousand years old. When you talk to the geologists, some of them believe that it is millions of years old, and some of them believe that it's billions of years old. Now, I don't know how old the world is, and I'm not even sure that I care. But what is important is the fact that God, according to the Word, did create man, and he placed him in that world that he created, irregardless of how old it is. And God placed them there in the garden, and he gave to them certain commandments. And we know that man came along and rebelled against God, and as a result of that, he was cut off and separated from God. But at that time, God gave to Adam and his wife a promise that one day he would provide a way for man once again to come back into fellowship and communion with himself. And about 2,000 years later, God came along, and in the person of Abraham, he reaffirmed the promise that he gave to Adam and his wife. And he said, Abraham, it is through your seed that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And then about 2,000 years later, Jesus Christ came into the world and died upon the cross for our sin, as a fulfillment of that promise that he had given both to Adam as well as to Abraham. Now, again, almost 2,000 years have passed. And I left a place between those two lines because the thing I would like to do is to take your life and to draw it in there. And so I'm going to illustrate that by this little triangle here to interrupt that timeline so that we can draw your life in. And I'd like for this first line, and for the sake of those people who are listening to this thing by tape, I've drawn two lines, have left a space in between them, and underneath have drawn a large triangle. And on that first line, I'd like for that to represent when you were born into the world. And then I'm going to draw another line here, and I would like for that line there to represent the day that you were saved, or the day that you became a Christian and received Jesus Christ into your heart and life. And then I'm going to take and draw another line here, and I'd like for that line to take and represent April the 25th, 1975. That's today. And beloved, the next great event, it is the 25th, isn't it? 76, thank you. It was a short night, wasn't it? But I'd like for that to represent April the 25th, 1976. Now, beloved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the next great event that is going to take place in your life is right down here. Now, some of you think that the next great event that's going to take place in your life is the day that you graduate from the university, or the day that you take a wife, or when you have your first child, or when you've made your first million. But that is not the next great event that is going to take place in your life. The next great event that's going to take place in your life . You know what that represents? Yeah. That represents the day that you die. One of these days, that's going to happen. Your friends are going to take your body and are going to place it in a box. And they're going to dig a hole about 6 feet deep. And they're going to take and lower that box in that hole. And then they're going to try and find a few kind words to say about you. And for some of you, that's going to be more difficult than it will be for others. But even if they have to lie just a little bit, they will find something good to say about you. And for all practical purposes, your life has come to an end, at least as far as this world is concerned. But the Bible teaches us that once a man dies, that he goes before God. And on the basis of what he has done with the person of Jesus Christ, it will be determined where he or she is going to spend eternity. Either they are going to spend eternity with God, or they are going to spend eternity separated from God. And that all depends on what decision they have made about the person of Jesus Christ. Whether they have received him into their heart and life and have become the child of God, or whether they've rejected him. And if they're the child of God, then the Bible says they are going to be with him throughout all eternity. How many zeros should I put out here to take and represent eternity? Yeah, the truth of the fact is that I couldn't draw enough zeros. If I were to go right off this screen and go right on around the wall and come all the way back around until I'd reach there, I simply couldn't write enough zeros. I'd wear this pencil out and every pencil in this auditorium. So the truth of the fact is that we've got to write out there to infinity, or to put a big question mark. But beloved, where we spend eternity is going to be decided now and with what I do with the person of Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, I believe not only is it going to be decided where I am going to spend eternity, but what eternity is going to be like for us. Because the Bible teaches us that as a man passes through this life, that there are certain crowns and rewards that he may receive as a result of walking according to God's laws and commandments. And so in a very real way, we not only are deciding where we are going to spend eternity, but what eternity is going to be like for us. And whatever is decided, it is going to be throughout all eternity. Now, beloved, the Bible says that a man's life consists of 70. How much is that? How much? 70 years. Score is 20. 3 times 20 is 60. And 10 is 70 years. Now, it's interesting that the scriptures told us that hundreds and even thousands of years ago, and the actuaries have finally come to the place that they conclude that the scriptures are right, that a man has about 70 years as far as his life expectancy is concerned. But it's interesting that in our passage here, that he says to us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a what? A vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Well, you know, as I look at
what it says there in verse 14, that your life is like a vapor, you know, I simply have to say to you this morning that I simply do not see my life as a vapor. I lived 20 years the other side of the cross. And those were long and hard and some of them bitter years. And on the 8th of this month, I finally passed where I now have 20 years on this side of the cross. And I don't mind telling you that those have been long years, and they have been hard years, though they've been good years. And so that I look back across 40 years of my life, you know, I simply do not see my life as a vapor. And yet James says to us here in this passage, your life is a vapor. And somehow we've got to come to grips with that. And the whole point of this illustration is to try and help you do that. Because, beloved, when you come along and put your 70 up there, if you put 70 over 1, then 70 is a pretty big number, isn't it? But if you take and put 70 over 10, then 70 isn't quite such a big number anymore. And if you put 70 over 100, it becomes significantly smaller. And over 1,000 and 10,000 and 100,000 and over 1,000,000. And eventually we begin to come to grips with what James is saying, that your life is like a vapor. this morning when I took a cup of coffee out of the urn and I held that cup there and pulled that little spigot back, the fact that the coffee was hot, and off of the top of that cup there came a little vapor. But you know how long that vapor lasted? Just, and it was gone. And James says that is what your life is like, a vapor, and it's gone. And yet, it is on the basis of what happens during that vapor that it is going to determine where you are going to spend eternity and what eternity is going to be like for you. Now, beloved, that is a nice way of saying to you, don't blow the war effort. That you better have a value system that is eternal rather than temporal. Because if your value system is temporal, during this vapor, throughout all eternity, then you're going to suffer loss. And that somehow we need to come to grips with the fact that we simply are going to be here that long. And that we need to give ourselves to that which God has upon his heart. Now, beloved, I have two questions I'd like to ask you this morning in relationship to this. That we stand here today, April the 25th, 1976, and we are moving towards this great event in our life. And the thing that I'd like to know is, how long do you have left before that next great event takes place? And many of you are in that age bracket of about 20, 22 years of age. And you look out there and you can say, well, Dave, you know, I've got somewhere between 45 and 50 years. But the truth of the fact is that each one of you are just one heartbeat away from eternity. And the next one could be it. Or maybe it'll be 10 or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 or 1,000,000. But the truth of the fact is, we're just one heartbeat away. And today there were over 400,000 people that are going to be born into the world. But today, about 200,000 people are going to take and are going to stand before God. And for many of those people, at this moment, they have no clue. If they knew that today was going to be the last day of their life, they'd live it a little differently than what they planned. And they're just one heartbeat away from eternity. Last night when somebody prayed, they gave thanks the fact that we all had a safe journey and we're here. But the truth of the fact is that some of us, you know, may not make it home from this conference. But, you know, I have every intention of going back to my wife and children there in Oklahoma City. But the truth of the fact is that, you know, that plane could go down, or in that car going back to Kansas City, and our life could just be snuffed out. So how long do you have? For me, I've already started down the other side of that mountain. And whatever it is that I've got to do, I better get on with it, because I don't have as much time as I used to have. But beloved, the truth of the fact is that I got about X amount of time left, whatever X represents. But beloved, my second question to you is this, and one that is far more important. What is it that you are going to exchange your life for between now, April the 25th, 1976, and when this great event takes place in your life? What is it that you are going to exchange your life for? Now, let me just say a word about this business of exchanging your life. Several weeks ago, I was traveling back on the East Coast, and I got a telephone call from Brett, and he asked me if I would consider coming and spending this weekend with you. Now, beloved, there are all kinds of places I could be this weekend, and I suppose if I could choose any place that I really would like to be, it'd be down there in Oklahoma City with my wife and kids. I have four lovely children, and I spend all too much time away from them. And I have a very beautiful wife, and I spend too much time away from her. So if I could just be any place that I wanted to be, I'd probably be down there in Oklahoma City with my wife and kids. But the truth of the fact is that I'm out here in the middle of Chillicothe, Missouri. And I'm here by my own choice. But the truth of the fact is that I decided some weeks ago that I was going to exchange the 24th, the 25th, and part of the 26th for a group of students from Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska. And the truth of the fact is that I am exchanging my life to be with you this weekend. And the truth of the fact is that day after day, you are making choices about what you are going to exchange your life for. But my question to you this morning is simply this. What is it that you are going to exchange your life for from April the 25th, 1976, until this next great event takes place in your life? Suppose I were to ask you to write there in your notebook, I am going to exchange my life from April the 25th until the end of my life for, and then how would you finish that? What is it that you are going to exchange your life for? Because, beloved, if you exchange your life for the wrong thing, then throughout all eternity, the Bible says that you're going to suffer loss. And that somehow, as a band of believers in Jesus Christ, we have got to figure out from the pages of this book what it is that God intended that we exchange our lives for. And that's what we're going to do during the next session that we're together. And we're running just a tad behind, and rather than to shift that whole schedule and for you to try and figure out how we're going to do it, I'm simply going to take and end this session with a word of prayer, and you'll go off to your workshops, And then we're going to meet back here at what time, Brett? I think it's 11 o'clock. Nope. Yeah, at 11:15. So your workshop runs from 9:30 to 10:45. And then we've got a break of about 30 minutes, and then we'll meet back here at 11:15. And the topic for our consideration is going to be what it is that God expects you to exchange your life for between now and when that next great event takes place in your life. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that the simple truth, that the fact that our life is a vapor, would somehow come into focus for us, and that you, in fact, would teach us today what it is that you want us to exchange our life for between now and when you call us to yourself. And to that end, we pray and commit ourselves now for Jesus' sake. Amen.